My name is Joanna. My husband is Chuza, Herod Steward. Our family has always lived on the borderline. We are Jewish, but my husband works for the empire, and it is seldom clear where we fit, if we fit anywhere. I have been turned away so many times. Who am I? What are my motives? Am I a spy? Could I possibly be a friend? I may have enjoyed some of the prestige that came with palace life, but mostly I faded into the background and came and struggled to find my true identity. Whose side was I on? When I met Jesus, I realized how much this struggle was tearing me apart, how desperately I desired a place where I belonged. I joined Jesus on the road, and as we worked our way through Galilee and back towards the city of Jerusalem, I entered the city with new eyes. There were so many in Jerusalem seeking power and fame, so many stepping on those beneath so that they may rise above. Jesus showed me a different way to live, a way that proclaimed peace and justice as good news for everyone. Jesus saw me, and he included me as a beloved child. I will assume this morning that this portrayal of Joanna is more or less accurate. And well, she might have had such feelings and thoughts and struggles. There is little enough written about her in the Bible, and so we are left to speculate in order to learn from her. Kevin read one passage about her and the other one he alluded to, where she came with the other women to the grave. And she witnessed the resurrected Jesus, or at least the news about it. So we can speculate further that if she did not find satisfaction or a place to belong in Herod's household, she was not looking after fame and recognition. She seems to have been a serious seeker, a seeker of truth, of that which would give her inner peace. In her quest, she comes upon Jesus, sees in him the promise of what is genuine and life-giving. Here was something she could embrace. So she joins the women who are traveling with Jesus, and together they help support Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. Joanna's deep yearning and desire to belong and participate in something truly meaningful may have been what drove her to this choice, to this action. But what did it require for her to follow through on this possibly most unusual choice? To me, it appears that she has reached a level of maturity that is marked by courage, patience, and humility. Because she was not totally self-absorbed, she recognized what was precious and lasting. Her choice required courage. Courage means to make a good choice amidst difficult or uncertain circumstances. Did she have any idea what she was getting into? Would she be shunned and suffer further rejection? This kind of courage leaves no room for self-pity or complaint about one's difficult situation. Such choice is based on a maturity that considers what would be most constructive in spite of any risk or potential difficulty. Her choice required patience. To be patient means to endure a period of waiting for something desired and hoped for without murmur or annoyance or anger. She remained patient under seemingly hopeless circumstances, namely the death of Jesus. So we find her at Jesus' grave, and she was present to hear the good news of Jesus resurrected and to pass it on. Her choice ultimately required humility. To be authentically humble means to let go of the need to seek the approval of others, to impress others, to seek the limelight, or even to bask in it. It means to let go of the need to be recognized for every contribution, talent, or accomplishment. Do we really need the incentive of some recognition in order to give to a cause like one's name on a door or a plaque or a building. True humility doesn't seek rewards. Humility means to let go of always having to be right. In German, we have a saying that says, the wiser person will give in. It also means not to sulk or to take offense. Offense taken is often based on misunderstanding or presuppositions. I am sure he or she meant to offend me because I believe this or that is true about her or him. And even if offense is intended, let it go or make it right. There's nothing to be gained and much to be lost by nurturing offense. Humility means to hear and notice another's need and situation, to listen, instead of forming your response in your mind to relate your own experience. It means to let go of the need to have the last word, also the need to speak one's mind at length and without consideration of the other. It means to let go of the need to be understood, or at least to resist the temptation for self-pity or resentment when misunderstood. Authentic humility means to transcend the ego. The ego being that part of us that needs constant approval, attention, recognition, etc. True humility, authentic humility, embodies a way of life that offers the best way to live in peace with one another. Joanna, as portrayed in the paragraph that I read earlier, seemed to have that kind of maturity. Her search for truth opened her to understanding, understanding of human nature, that human nature seeks its own interest. Truth offers revelation. According to the paragraph, the writer suggests that she entered the city with new eyes. This is what she saw. There were so many in Jerusalem seeking power and fame, so many stepping on those beneath so that they may rise above. That was a rather shrewd observation. We could say perhaps a spiritual discernment. I heard the last of this year's Massey lectures on Friday, given by Jennifer Welch. The lecture was about inequality. Among other things, she said that it has been shown, with studies, that an increase in possessions, an increase in wealth, among humans, and even among monkeys, engenders a sense of entitlement. Somehow we feel we deserve more when we have more. With this sense of entitlement, she says, comes a decrease in compassion, empathy, and a caring for others. Well, that's a rather sweeping statement and perhaps given somewhat out of context, and it needs some qualification. But before you push that notion aside and say, well, it doesn't apply everywhere, after all, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, give it some consideration. Maybe it's not morally wrong to be wealthy, but it might very well be dangerous. Joanna invites us, if I may put it that way, to seek truth, to seek that which builds up, that which gives life, that which contributes to the good of all, that which promotes peace and goodwill. She invites us to be courageous in our choices, to be patient and persevering in our good choices, to become humble by understanding how freeing it is to let go of ourselves and live with inner peace and be a peace builder. A Burmese politician and a 1991 Nobel Peace Laureate, I can't pronounce her name, is quoted to say in part, every thought, every word, every action that adds to the positive and the wholesome is a contribution to peace.
I just suddenly thought, with a bit of a sense of humor, how like me it is to walk up here with a movie instead of my Bible. but I have a reason. Susanna. My name is Susanna. I came to Jesus, like so many others, looking for some hope in what seemed to be a hopeless situation. The social and political tensions all around me were eating away at the rhythms of everyday life. I saw injustice and violence everywhere I looked. I am a woman of some means, managing my own household and my own property, but I struggled to see what I could do that would make a difference for those who were suffering under the heavy burden of Rome. Then I heard the words of Jesus. His message of peace was so simple, and it rang so true. I saw the way he treated people. No one was greater, and no one was less. His eyes searched the crowd, and they found mine. For the first time, I felt hope spring to life in my heart. I felt my hand stir to action in service of something bigger than myself. I joined Jesus and his companions on the road. I made sure that everyone was clothed and fed and had what they needed. I became a disciple as I watched and listened and worked late into the night. Jesus saw me and he welcomed me for the contributions I could make. I thought her story was relevant for our day today, and for myself, because I too am a seeker and a lover of Jesus' words and of his kingdom. I believe in peace and the kingdom of heaven. I suppose some wars have had their purpose on this earth. I'd like to think it wasn't all in vain, but I don't believe in war. I believe in peace, and I love the theme of the day. In seeking the kingdom of God, and especially the life of Jesus, which I have loved over all my life, and I've found out recently that I've lived a long time, so I've had a lot of aha Jesus moments and a lot of insight over the years of what he was saying. And more than ever before, I feel in awe and wonder and really want to believe with all my heart that what he said and promised is true and right for us today. One of the aha moments was the Gospel Road. I sat in the Winkler Elementary School in the 70s somewhere and watched this movie for I don't remember what reason. But it's a movie that is produced, narrated, sang by Johnny Cash. And for me, it was a real aha moment when I saw, and it's good sometimes to get a visual, I saw Jesus walking that dusty road, and I saw him collect his disciples together. And they weren't a well-behaved group in the beginning. And he collected them from all walks of life, and he didn't seem to pick the ones that had a great education or had a lot of money. And when he walked with them, and in this movie you saw how they didn't always behave, and he laughed, and he nudged them and taught them perhaps some life skills. I saw how he loved the children and loved to play with them and loved to have them come to him. I saw how he loved the sick and the dying, and wherever he could, he would put his hands on someone, and there were some that were healed, and we know that some even got raised from the dead. Jesus was a real man. He came with a mission from God, definitely, and he came as a very godly and beautiful, perfect person, but he was a man. And he wept for Jerusalem when he saw what was happening. He saw women as equals. I saw how he loved to sit and teach the people and give them hope in life and teach them about peace. And then they were hungry, and he even fed them. Jesus got mad, too. He got mad at the Pharisees because they did not want to hear about the kingdom. And they didn't really want anybody else to hear about it either. So Jesus had all those same feelings and goals for peace on earth as we would like to have. And he saw life through our eyes, and he felt it. And he believed. He came, he died, no, he was born and he died with the message, peace on earth. May there be peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. As I have more than ever thought about Canada, our beloved Canada, I pray this prayer that there will be peace on earth. And focusing in on Manitoba and on Winkler, on Covenant, may there be peace. May we all enjoy the peace and be the lights of peace that does bring peace on earth and goodwill to all of us.